Hello out there and welcome to episode 61 of the Nursing Home Abuse Podcast. My name is Rob Schenck.
And I'm Will Smith.
And we are your co-hosts for this podcast, Nursing Home Abuse Podcast.
That's right.
What's going on? As we go to air, it's March 26th. It looks like we're about a week away from the Easter Bunny visiting.
Yes.
Okay, so, Will, you and I have talked about family tradition, your family traditions, and how odd they are because you grew up in the mountains.
In the mountains.
And you didn't really celebrate things. So my question is, did you do anything for Easter? Like, did your mom or dad hide eggs in the house with baskets and things like that? Did you eat candy?
I remember this one year, because I'm Southern and come from a Southern family. As most Southerners, I have a variety of nicknames. Scooter, Whoopi Tebow Bonger, Scootoby. So my dad took all of these colored eggs and wrote the different nicknames on them and hid them for me. That's the only Easter that I actually remember. I guess the rest of the Easters, we just, I don't know. It's on a dirt road. What am I going to do?
So, okay, let me ask you this then. When you found the eggs, what did you do with the eggs?
Actually, it's funny you should ask that, because I distinctly remember putting them underneath my bed and leaving them there, because I will never forget the way that it smelled weeks later when my parents discovered that the eggs were still there, and they had to be removed. It was an awful, awful smell, because they were rotten.
What? I don't understand. Like, why did you put them on your bed?
Because I was a kid. I mean, I wasn't, you know, as most children, I wasn't really thinking about the future. I was just thinking about, well, I like all these eggs. They have my nicknames on them.
Right.
I mean, well, I really blame my parents, because why weren't they like, hey, what happened to that dozen or so eggs that we let you play with? You know, I don't know. They must have had other things on their mind at the time.
Yeah, yeah. Well, each of us would dye two eggs the night before, and they would go into our basket. So, and obviously the Easter Bunny would bring candy, put them in the basket, but we would have two eggs, and we would always, based on my father's attitude most of the time, we always made one of the eggs, we dyed it to make it look like a Prozac pill. So as a joke to him, that he needed to be on Prozac. So one side would be yellow, and one side would be green. Prozac, I don't know, did he even saw Prozac?
Was Prozac back then?
Yeah, I think I remember, because I as like a 9-year-old had a subscription to Time Magazine, and I remember Prozac being on the cover of Time Magazine one year, like this is the drug of the century or whatever.
Oh, I don't remember that.
Yeah, it's been around for a long time. No, it's been around for a long time. Yeah. So that's my, and then we would, when we found the eggs, we would eat. I would put spicy mustard on them and you know, squish the eggs, the hard-boiled eggs, with mustard and eat it like that.
Oh, I don't think I ever ate that was a huge waste of
protein. No, we ate all of ours. Yeah, we ate all of ours. Well, that was riveting.
Yeah, well, it was very interesting. And that took some time. And speaking of taking time, what about the statute of limitation in these cases? So, this,
what cases? What statute of limitations? Nursing,
it, very good. There you go. So the statute, not the Venus de Milo, the statute, the law of limitations on when you can bring certain suits. There is a time limit on when you can bring a lawsuit, an action, for every type of action there is, from a personal injury action to a breach of contract to property issues. There's a time limit. And the reason that there's a time limit is because you have to control what a person should reasonably expect to deal with as far as litigation. You know, I mean, it would not be fair, as a plaintiff's attorney, I agree with this, it would not be fair 50 years from now for me to go up to somebody and go, hey, remember that auto accident you had 50 years ago? Well, we're going to sue you now. Neither would 20 years or 10 years, to be honest with you. you know, I really don't have a huge issue with the statute of limitation in Georgia for
as
personal injury.
As a principle.
As a principle. In Georgia, it is, in general, for personal injury cases, 2 years. There are certain exceptions to that that have to do with the incapacitation of the injured person. And for our purposes, or perhaps even when, you know, when the actual injury should have been discovered, for our purposes in nursing home cases, the big issue is when the person died and when an estate was set up. So, for example, let's say that in a typical case, we have Miss Johnson who passes away January 1st of 2010, okay? So her statute of limitations, and there's two claims that are going to be made here, right? Because we're claiming that this nursing home did or failed to do something which led to her death. We're also assuming for this hypothetical that let's say that she had a bed sore and those are painful. So she also has a pain and suffering aspect as well as, you know, anything else that goes with personal injury like medical bills. So you have, on one hand, you have a personal injury claim, and on the other hand, you have the wrongful death claim. All right. You've got 2 years before you have lost the ability to bring those actions. Now, in a case like this, Ms. Johnson has passed away. So clearly, Ms. Johnson cannot bring, she cannot bring this action. And it takes a while for somebody to set up an estate. You can't just go straight to the probate court and go, hey, you know, I'm Miranda Johnson, I'm her daughter, I want to be the administrator. And then it happens. You have to go through an entire process. You have to reach out to heirs. You have to publish it in a local publication. You have to pay fees. It takes a while. So what Georgia has said is this, that the time between the passing of the individual, so the time between the day they died, so here it is January 1st of 2010, and the time that it takes until the time until you set up an estate is not counted against the 2 years, okay?
In Georgia.
This is only Georgia. It is not federal. It is not Alabama, Florida, Tennessee. This is Georgia. So what that means is, let's say that, and this is very significant, okay? Let's say that it's January 1st, 2011, all right? And Miranda Johnson, her daughter, has only just now finally set up the estate. It is official on January 1st of 2011. So what does that mean for the purposes of the statute of limitations on Ms. Johnson's case? It means... it only means something for the personal injury aspect. The wrongful death still expires 2 years after her passing, right? Because you don't need anything. You don't have to set up an estate.
Let's unpack that a little bit for the viewers that are not that might need a little refresher course. So when we say a personal injury claim, a personal injury is a category of the law that includes several different types of what we would call a cause of action. So, for example, defamation, medical malpractice, general negligence, assault, battery, types of actions that cause somebody a harm. For the most part, in Georgia, an individual has 2 years from the time of the harm. So to file a lawsuit or the ability to bring that suit is lost most of the time. Like we'll explain, there's going to be times when the statute of limitations is told. In other words, it's stalled or stopped. It's mostly 2 years for general negligence, nursing home malpractice, this type of things, without any of those exceptions that cause it to be longer. Some personal injury claims are shorter. So, for example, defamation in Georgia, you only have 1 year as opposed to 2 years. And states are different. So Georgia, we're saying 2 years. In Tennessee, many personal injury causes of actions that we were just explaining, negligence, assault, battery, these type of things, it's a year. In some other states, it's longer. It can be 3 or 4 years. And for the policy rationale and reasons that we have mentioned, whereas on one hand, you have to give somebody the time to collect themselves and do investigation and figure out whether or not they want to bring a claim and then bring the claim. On the other hand, you want to protect the individual, the future defendant, so to speak, from having to protect themselves from a claim that's now so old that the witnesses are gone, the documents are gone, testimony is gone, that kind of thing. So it's a balancing act. So in short, though, what Will has explained is that in our typical nursing home case,
where we have two claims. Now, not every nursing home case we're going to make a claim for wrongful death, but generally every single nursing home case we're going to make a claim for personal injury.
Right. So the claim for personal injury most of the time is meaning that we're making a claim for negligence that has caused some type of damage. So in Will's case, in Will's example, it's a bed sore. So in that case, we're going to be making a claim under the individual that was hurt for pain and suffering, medical bills, costs and expenses for having to go through that injury.
This belongs to the estate. And that's the reason that the time between setting up the estate and the time between that individual's passing doesn't count against them for the purposes of statute of limitations, because that specific claim belongs to the state. Other entities, surviving spouse or surviving child, can actually bring a wrongful death claim,
which is a separate personal injury claim that is brought by the spouse, child, or specified decedent. That's the word I'm looking for.
Heir. Descendant.
Which is brought by a statutory
descendant of the deceased person. Yeah.
So these are two separate claims. So in short, what Will is saying is that in some instances, the personal injury claim held by the person that's been hurt, the resident, is told or stopped until the time that an estate is set up, such that the 2 years doesn't start clicking or it's delayed by that amount of time. The wrongful death claim, which is held by the descendants of the person, the resident, the loved ones of the resident,
it keeps going.
It's 2 years unless there's some reason why it would not be in some. And again, this is actually going to be one of the first times, because we're dealing with sometimes finite numbers in these, where I want to make a disclaimer to the audience right now that if do not rely on this podcast if you are considering bringing a claim for wrongful death, personal injury against a nursing home,
right?
Because of the statute of limitations information,
you need to do it immediately.
You just talk to an attorney. But you know what we're talking is in generalities, because again, like we said, there might be facts in your case that extend the statute of limitations, and there are sometimes facts in these cases, depending on who the defendant is in Georgia, where you have to do other things prior to bringing in the lawsuit, or you
absolutely
lose the claim. So it's very important that if you are dealing with this issue, that you actually call an attorney and get a consultation and figure out definitively in your specific instance whether or not the statute of limitation has run, or is stalled.
And this is only up to a 5-year period. So Ms. Johnson dies January 1st, 2010. Her daughter, Miranda, doesn't set up the estate until January 1st, 2011. Okay, so that period of 12 months doesn't count against her. So she still has 2 years to bring that personal injury claim. Let's say that she had waited until to set up the estate until 2016. Well, she waited too long. So there is still a limitation on when Ms. Johnson's estate can bring a claim, but they just give her extra time because, you know, it's only fair. I mean, it may take a while to find an heir that wants to be the administrator of the estate. And one of the other issues with statute of limitations is One of the, and this happens every once in a while, they bring it up as part of tort reform, is that those who want to restrict the ability of plaintiffs to bring lawsuits, so the nursing home industry, the medical industry, the
Chamber of Commerce.
That's the term I'm looking for. Chamber of Commerce. The auto industry. You know, all the people who are generally the defendants in these cases. They're, every once in a while, they will propose and try to pass through lobbying efforts a federal statute of limitations that applies to all cases, even state cases. So, ironically, the party that is constantly talking about states' rights is often and always, not just often, but always, the champion of this type of tort reform. So if there were some sort of tort reform passed, and it hasn't been passed yet, they just keep getting threateningly closer and closer. But if it were passed, what it would mean is that the federal law dictates what the statute of limitation is in certain medical malpractice cases, which includes nursing homes, and it would be 1 year.
Right. So, and the reason why that is something that is supported by the Chamber of Commerce and the healthcare industry is because, like we said, there's a balancing act with the policy rationale behind the statute of limitations in the first place. Clearly, the shorter that you make the statute of limitations, the less likely it is that a plaintiff will bring the claim, because necessarily people need a certain amount of time to investigate and file the suit. So the less time you give them, the more likely it is that you're going to lessen the number of lawsuits brought. And that's obviously the intention of the lobbying power of the healthcare industry, the nursing home industry. On the other end of that spectrum, like we said at the beginning, is the longer you give to somebody, the more likely it is that they'll bring a claim, but the less likely it is that the defendant, the future defendant, will efficiently be able to defend that claim.
Yeah,
so it's a balancing act. However, as Will was saying, in our humble opinions, as we sit here and host this show, is that the statute of limitations, that the federal one that is proposed every other year by a certain party, seeks to shorten the statute of limitations on a federal level for every state, not for the interest of the potential plaintiff. It is in the interest of the potential defendant, that is, the nursing home itself.
Yeah, so, I mean, think about it. The longer the statute of limitation, it is less and less fair to the defendant. The shorter the statute of limitations, and it's moving less and less fair to the plaintiff. So if you've got a 50-year statute of limitation, that is completely unfair to the defendant.
Let the record reflect that Will is extending his hand above his head as much as he can.
Yeah, so you've got a statute of limitation up here at 50 years.
Out of the frame, even.
That is completely unfair to a defendant.
Now, where is the... Now, do the sign for the shortest.
All the way down here, let's say that you had a statute of limitation of 1 month for any claim. That is completely unfair to the plaintiff, right? So there's a good balance here, I think, with 2 years... And these tolling exceptions, I think that's pretty decent, to be honest with you. 1 year,
That's actually an interesting point, because I don't know what the American Association of Justice or the Georgia Trial Lawyers Association or the American Bar Association, the plaintiff law section, thinks about that. Like, what is the consensus among plaintiff lawyers?
I think it's going to depend on the type of case. It really is. Like, for me, a case where... you're dealing with an older person that passed away, and they need to set up an estate, or even a younger person where you need to set up an estate, maybe. It's going to take a while for the family to recoup from that. So I think a year is way too short, but two, I don't know. Now, in some medical malpractice cases where you may not really understand exactly what happened in the beginning, I could see, you know, using the total of 5 years, but I think that they already have exceptions to that. So,
right.
Yeah, the statute of repose. So, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, they, you know, to be fair to GTLA and AAJ, it is their responsibility to protect plaintiffs, and sometimes they have to go in all in extreme, so they may say 5 or 6 years,
right?
Just because they know that the Chamber of Commerce wants to be like
six months,
you know, like that's enough time.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is that, like I said, we're obviously seek counsel if you're you know, searching the internet right now trying to find out what the statute of limitations in Georgia. However, I'm just saying that in some instances, which I don't think is fair, is that if you're wanting to sue certain governmental entities in the state of Georgia, you've got 6 months to put them on notice or you lose it. So really, in almost in essence, it's a 6 month statute of limitations if you're suing the government, to certain governments under the state of Georgia.
And the best rule of thumb is, if you think that you have a lawsuit, treat it like the statute of limitation is tomorrow. And until you sit down with an attorney and you hire them and you say, please look at this for me, you don't know. So you've got to make sure, you've got to schedule a consultation with an attorney. It's extremely important. Because, like, for example, there are even situations in auto accident cases where, yeah, you've got 2 years, but if it's an uninsured motorist claim, you may be contractually required to put them on notice, your own insurance company, with a certain amount of time, or you forfeit bringing the case. Or you at least forfeit that source of income or source of award.
And to further highlight that point in terms of letting somebody know and not sitting on your hands, I mean, we get calls all the time where the individual is just now coming to terms with the passing of their loved one in a nursing home, and it's been 2 years. And by that time, we, you know, if we're able to hustle up and get the claim file before the statute runs, there are other factors that make the likelihood of success a little bit lower. And that one of those is generally when we're alerted by a client of potential negligence and we enter the case, what we do is we send a notification to the nursing home alerting them that they need to hold on to certain files and documents such that if they destroy them after they've been put on this notice that we're telling them that there's a potential claim, it's potentially could be used against them at a potential trial. So in other words, the longer that you wait, the more opportunity the nursing home has to destroy evidence that would hurt them without any type of repercussions. So let's play that out to the conclusion. You come in to the office of an attorney in the state of Georgia with a potential claim for nursing home abuse or neglect. They sign you up. They send the what's called a spoliation letter, the notice of the intent to file a claim. So moving forward, that nursing home now, depending on what the notification says that the attorney provides them, if they destroy a videotape, if they destroy a progress note or a nurse's note or a doctor's order, any type of evidence, even if it would have helped them, if they did it after they received that notification of a claim, then in the state of Georgia, we're allowed to argue in court that it would have hurt them and that they destroyed it. There's a rebuttable presumption that they destroyed it because it was bad for them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the power of the spoliation notice in these nursing home claims in the state of Georgia. So again, not just because you don't want to run out of time with your statute of limitations, but for other factors, including the spoliation notification, the power of that to prevent them from destroying evidence, you need to act as soon as you can.
That's a really good point that Rob just brought up, because I have spoken to people on the phone who are like, look, I looked at what the statute of limitation is on this, and I still have, 3 weeks, and that's plenty of time. It's not plenty of time. It's not like all I've got to do is take this piece of paper and take it to the courthouse and go, hey, we made it within 21 days of the statute running. There's a lot of investigation that has to go on. There's a lot of evidence that could be missing. There's a lot of paperwork we have to file. So don't sit on your hands. I mean, it's even a legal doctrine, the doctrine of, I always want to say Nick Lachey, but it's the doctrine of latches.
I feel like you want to say Nick Lachey all the time, regardless.
Yeah.
He was Jessica Simpson.
Yes, he was.
When I say he was Jessica Simpson, I mean he was the one married.
Yeah. Anyway, the doctrine of latches, which you can't sit on your hands and just wait around. Because I've spoken to some people on the phone before. They've been like, hey, let me ask you a question. So back in 2000, my dad died. And I'm like, stop right there. I mean, I was 22 years old in 2000. I wasn't even an attorney yet. That was 18 years ago. You don't have a case. Like, there's no reason for us to even discuss it. You waited 18 years? It would be, even as a plaintiff's attorney, I think it would be unfair for you to be able to bring a claim. Like, clearly this didn't matter to you if you waited 18 years to discuss it.
Yeah.
Also, and this is a good, this is important for nursing home cases. I have yet to come across this, but it is something to keep in mind, is that if your case is governed by arbitration, arbitration could have its own deadlines in there. So at the end of the day, what we're saying is, this is a general description of how generally the statute of limitation works in these cases and in other cases, but you have to speak with an attorney.
So,
and you need to do it immediately.
In short, don't be the turtle.
Be the hare.
Be the hare, which I think is fitting on this week prior to Easter.
Of course, it is the tortoise that wins the race.
Is it?
Are you joking, right?
That's the Aesop.
That's the whole moral of
fable
is that slow and steady
slow
wins
and steady
the race.
Wins the race. So don't,
have you been
so
walking
don't
around
be tortoise.
Thinking that the hare beat the tortoise?
I'm thinking of the cartoon with Bugs Bunny where he doesn't Bugs Bunny win?
No, he doesn't win. Wow.
I can't remember. I do know that the slow and steady wins the race. I had a momentary blank because for some reason I'm like, well, the rabbit wins because clearly the rabbit's faster than
the turtle. I was
going to
go with it just because I thought, well, I guess from the get-go, the rabbit's faster. But
right.
In the end, slow and steady does not win the race for the statute of limitations. Immediate.
Be the hare.
Immediate wins the race.
Yeah. That didn't work out good for me. That was not a good analogy.
No.
I apologize.
Yeah, that's okay. It was...
Okay, so be... You know,
be quick.
Be the hare, but also be steady.
Anyway,
I think that we probably beat this topic to death.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. Do you have anything else to say about such limitations in Georgia? Let's see. One of the reasons, I mean, one, in the last 2 minutes, and this is something we didn't talk about this particular, but there's another reason why. In Georgia, you want to be quick and give your attorney time. And again, like, we'll get calls where the statute runs the following day. And there's mm-hmm. something that, you know, that sometimes we can, depending on the facts, we can act. But likely, it's going to be very difficult for you to find an attorney when the statute runs in a week or a day or whatever it is. But one of the main reasons is that when you're bringing a medical malpractice claim, when a lot of these nursing home abuse claims are medical malpractice claims, is that in Georgia, you got to have an affidavit attesting to the negligence.
So it can take 4 months for me to get all the medical records to give to the expert, who may take an additional 2 or 3 months. It typically takes us about 8 or 9 months.
Sometimes it can be shorter than that. Sometimes it can be longer
even
than
longer.
That. But you're still dealing with the fact that, like Will was saying before, if you got a week left, that's not plenty of time.
Now, I will say this, that there are some built-in rules regarding the statute of limitation on cases in which the attorney has gotten the case within 90 days of the statute running.
Right.
And it extends their ability to supplement the complaint with an affidavit. But all that means is that an attorney can do that. It doesn't mean that they're going to.
Correct.
For us, the harder you make it, the more risk we expose ourselves to, because you're making it very difficult for us to meet all these nuanced exceptions. And frankly, it's usually just not worth it. I like having a comfortable room of at least a year to work on a case and get it ready.
But don't hold us to that. I mean, like, if it's
depends
shorter,
on the case.
It depends on the case. If it's shorter, but again, bottom line is
don't wait around.
Be the hare, but be steady.
Be the hare.
Whatever the hare did, what did the hare do that was so wrong? Because he
started off really fast and
okay.
was so far
that's awesome.
Ahead.
That's good.
Okay, and then was so far ahead that he took a nap, and while he was napping, the tortoise had just gradually finished the race. And by the time he got to the finish line, it was too late for the rabbit to catch up. So he started off slow, but slowly and steadily finished the race.
Okay, that's what I'm saying. Be the hare, but don't take a nap.
But
like,
don't
why
take
would
a nap.
You take a nap during a race?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm pretty sure Aesop was just trying to think a little bit, you know, from a 50,000-point perspective.
a 50,000 point perspective? Because that's a lot of points to make. I feel like he needs to narrow the points that he's trying to make.
Okay.
Here's a point that I would like to make at this point.
Great segue.
Which is the fact that we've come to the conclusion of this particular episode.
Yep.
Will, if someone out there wanted to listen, just listen, not watch, if they wanted to just listen, where could they download this podcast?
They can go to a lot of places that you find most podcasts, Stitcher, iTunes, Pocket Pod, which I think I may have made up or somebody told me was one. But most importantly, you can go to Spotify. That's right. Nursing Home Abuse Podcast is now on Spotify. So when you go to the gym to work out, you can put on our voices to help you find your motivation.
Or you can watch each and every episode it's hot off the presses every Monday morning on our YouTube channel. Or on our website, which is nursinghomeabusepodcast.com. That is nursinghomeabusepodcast.com. And with that, we will see you next time.
Oh, see you next time.
Thanks for tuning in to the Nursing Home Abuse Podcast. Please be sure to subscribe to this podcast on iTunes or Stitcher. And feel free to leave us some feedback. And for more information about the topics discussed in this episode, check out the show website, nursinghomeabusepodcast.com. That's nursinghomeabusepodcast.com. See you next time.